time. Right, everyone, it's 5 o'clock, so let's call this meeting of the Library Advisory Board to order. We are at John and Judy Gay today. Hi.
Can I come to board meeting?
Of course.
Of course you can.
Where
is it? I would like to make a comment. Yeah. Thanks. All right. Let's start with a roll call. Elizabeth Michelle.
Here.
Thank you. Kevin McGavern.
Here.
Sally Huggins. It's not here. Kelly Gentinen.
Here.
Jimmy Stewart. C is not here. Pete Samsary.
Here.
And Lisa Harris.
Hi.
Hello. Okay, so first item on the agenda are the minutes from our last meeting. I think everyone has had a chance to look over those. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
So moved.
Thank you, Pete. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Kevin. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you all very much. Okay, so we have the director's report, which I assume, Helen, will you be delivering this report for Spencer
yes.
today?
Okay. And there is a paper copy on the bottom, but it's a little kind of hard to follow. So this is, and generally what Spencer uses a lot of the chart numbers is 2019, which is, of course, pre-COVID and kind of the peak of a lot of our circulation and attendance hours. And you can see the color coding here. And the circulations, one of the things that I noticed is, and that you'll notice for mid-grade, you'll see that it starts in 2020. That's because that was the first year that we pulled those books out and created the mid-grade collection. And what I have noticed is our Easy Reader collection is, let me go down here, early readers. I call them Easy Readers. They're early readers. I should use correct terminology. And you can see that's 20,441. And then here we have 17, 16, starts climbing, and we're now back up to 2179, which is now almost 1,000 over what it was. So that's, again, like those benchmark numbers of 2019 is what we're shooting for. And we have definitely seen an increase in a lot of the younger collections. Adult fiction is kind of, let's see, it was down, that was 1665, now here we are, 13, sorry, 11, 13, and so 13, 8, 9, 6, so we are still quite a bit, you know, below, but they are moving up, so some of the collections, especially I think the adult collections, are sort of lowering, but I think what you'll see is you'll see that that is sort of balanced by the number of digital borrowers. Because you can see that is 2019, that is a total, well, I don't know, but I mean, it's 5,486 here, and then 2023, it's now 6,836, and it's only just getting busier and busier, which is why we increased the budget for the e-books, just because they've grown so fast. So I really find, I think that a lot of those numbers are really balancing with the physical books, with the digital books. And then this is, you'll see the new library count. So this is for us, that is 448, 2019, and then now it's 713. And that's March, so some of that, and some of these numbers in March and early of the year could be attributed to the fact that Frisco Library was closed. And we gained quite a few of their people got library cards here. So it'll be interesting to see, now that they're open, it will be interesting to see what happens with those numbers. Is that going to steady? Is it going to be increasing, or is it going to drop off? So that'll be kind of interesting as a benchmark and for when they've opened and what happens with that, with those rivers. And then these are holds satisfied. I had to get some clarification on the numbers because it's... So it's the number of holds, 3583, and then those are the distinct users who put items on hold. So I had to kind of get clarification on that. So is it that we have, you know, some people who are putting massive amounts of holds on things, or is it really widespread? That's something that, you know, we can maybe dive in further and find out. But, and that has definitely increased, as you can see. There's 3583, and then we have, so that was 6294, 2019, we're at 8675 here at John G. McGinley. And it's increased at both locations, so it's not just Hollywood's 2455, and then it's up to 3583, so it's not just us, it's definitely Hall. It's on the rise as well. And this is interesting, the study room hours, which of course is a little bit hard to quantify because, you know, we've had these study room open for, you know, a fairly large period of time, but Hall has only gone to 3 study rooms, I think. Would you say, Stephanie, that was all 3 study rooms? Was that maybe a year or something like that? It's a little bit of a shorter span of time because they had to move somebody out of an office, and that was an office, and they created another study room. So it's a little bit less time, but still, it's obviously jumped significantly. I don't think, in looking at the book scheduler, our software that we use, I would say there's 30 minutes here and there where they're free. And I know at Hall they're getting as, you know, busy as well. So they're just, the numbers are just running exponentially. So, and then, of course, we've got a little sidebar here of some of the most read fiction. And and then, of course, Spare, the Prince Harry biography. Oh my gosh, I mean, there's so many holds on that book. It's amazing. And so there's just kind of a little rundown of the different topics and the different items that people pull the numbers for. And like I said, some things are definitely increasing. I think we're still going to be, I think, like I said, the adult fiction, the adult nonfiction, those are things that we'll kind of see play out a little bit between them. As we kind of keep moving forward with the digital materials and the physical materials, they're going to kind of just sort of balance each other out. And then one thing that we are doing is we're really working on our reading process with Collection HQ, and I think that's going to contribute to a lot more increase in circulation because it will be really focused on the things that everybody really wants. And I know that they're using that tool to really kind of fine tune what we're selecting so that we're really targeting those things that people really want and the topics that people want. So anybody has any questions, I can try to answer.
I see it on here, and I know I saw it when I looked at this online earlier, the volunteer hours.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's easier to
stream. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's very, very impressive.
Yes.
Increase.
And I know that they are working on. They really have bolstered a lot of the volunteer, especially for the teens at Hall. They've really been working on getting that program because here, it's just you open the door and they all come in. You know, I mean, we've got a middle school across the street. And they've really been working and doing a really good job on creating a lot more opportunities for the teens there. And now I think their focus is to really bolster the adult volunteer core. And we have, it's not as big, obviously, because so many of the schools require now in middle school and in high school volunteer hours. But they are starting to really move that forward, and I hope that kind of increases a lot. But I think this Saturday alone, For the Earth Day and the kite program, I think we're utilizing 30 to 40 or something of volunteers. And that's everything from, you know, manning stations of, you know, just kind of checking people in at all the different venues within the building and outside. So they're really using that volunteer group to kind of supplement a lot of these large programs that we're doing. And it's just a huge help to staff, because then we can be on the floor and then we can, you know, help the patrons who need something that they're not here for just the program, and that's really a great benefit. So yeah, it's been a great increase. And they're learning to use the volley system a lot, the city system. They're really learning to kind of fine tune and hone it and use it for what we need. So that's been a big help as well. I don't know if you noticed, they showed a picture of the robots down here. Tamara and David have got the robots, they're talking now. So you can ask them questions, so you can ask them guidance questions, you can use the touch screen to have it take you, or you can ask them, you can ask Lucy or Nigel to take you to where you want to go. They do say their names, if the kids ask them their names, they will give them their names. And then Tamara's trying to get them to do jokes, like knock-knock jokes or something like that.
You'll never get them to stop.
So we just have to control right. Them. They're so excited. And I think the kids are really learning to just, we always say, if you'll stand to the side or behind them, mm-hmm. you know, you can follow them. But if you get in front of them, they get a little more. And they just say, I cannot move. And it's like, okay, that's a nice way of saying, just pinch inside. So yeah, those are some of the things that we're using.
Visuals that are on there, is that the new marketing person?
Actually, I think, I don't know what the template, I think Spencer really kind of used this because she's no longer here. But I think he started using this, and it's really because he will show this to us. And Spencer is very much a numbers person, and really for me, I'm not as much, so it helps me really kind of see the difference. And yeah, I really like that. It helps me sort of see where the gaps and where the increases are. And I thought that was interesting. The most popular LinkedIn learning is going to screenwriting. I thought that's interesting. I thought I was completely expecting computer Python or something, and it's screenwriting. And I thought, well, that is great. And we've really been working on promoting that as well, the UW and LinkedIn. I've been trying to get into to go see the Avid kids at the middle school and talk to them about that. So I really think that those numbers are starting to pick up as well.
Now that Spencer's not at this meeting, what is your number one challenge over here?
I feel like we've adapted really well to, we have lost a few more of staff that were, some had babies and wanted to stay home, which is wonderful, and some have moved over hall, and some have taken on new positions, and we're a little bit short, you know, staff right now, but I never like to say that as in, like, I don't want to complain, because we adapt so well, and we pivot really well on how we adapt to that, but it's taken a little bit of getting used to, like in the evenings, we're a little bit short in the evenings, but I just tell them, I say, well, what do you think works best for this? So they figure out ways to say, well, let me have somebody here and somebody here, and we'll just kind of move back and forth, and so there's that. I think at Hall, as always with communication, it's that, you know, that four separate sections, and it's just so difficult to get to let everybody know what's going on at the same time. And that's a little bit of a challenge right now. I think we're all, when Frisco closed and they were out of school, I think when the bad weather hit or whatever, and we all kind of looked at each other, and we went, it's so busy. It was so busy. And one thing thing that I wish we had is more tables. As you can see when you walk out in the evening, every single table is being used for tutoring or for people, which I love because I love the fact that they're using it for tutoring or for reading or for studying or doing group projects. I think that's great, but we're almost kind of running out of tables and room for them to do that. So, but I mean, it's a good problem to have. I don't mind it at all. But I just want to make sure that we're making sure we're serving everybody as much as we can.
Now, is this facility underutilized?
Underutilized?
This room? The Bailey.
Oh. Well, it is set up to be for city training, city programs, and for staff meetings programs. So it's really not available to the public. I don't know if that's something the Spencer's looking at down the line.
You got a security issue.
Yes. There were some people in here studying last night, and the door wasn't locked, and they were studying, which was good. But they're looking again for space because we just don't have enough. And then we had a lady who was desperate for a study room for next Wednesday, and everything at Hall was booked, everything here was booked. There was just nothing. We were trying to find something for her, and so it would just be great if we. Maybe that's something in the future. And when we've had people who are desperate, we let them in our conference room because I feel somebody's got an interview and it's like, I want to make sure they have some access. So, this is John Cunningham and Joe Mazzola. They use this room quite a bit. I mean, they, and Alicia probably knows, they use this room quite a bit. When we have voting, we actually had to, we weren't going to be available for early voting this year because we've got a big program, and they have to drop off the equipment so early that it's going to interfere. But they will be here on May 6th or May, whenever the voting is.
6th. Mm-hmm.
So, and then with AARP, they use this room every Monday. So it is, I think, now with AARP, and then with when voting goes, when they're in there, and we have a couple of weeks where we need to move all the programming in here. And then they'll sometimes use the team programming room for programming if there's an overflow. So I think it's used quite a bit, probably not as much during the day. And certain days we have more programs than others. So.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So, with regard to the study rooms, I refresh my memory on the policy. If somebody's being paid for tutoring, can they use a study room? Okay, but they can do their paid for tutoring stuff out on a table.
Yeah, I mean, they cannot be an exchange of money on the floor for a service. That's just not something they can do. And most of them are so, I recognize all of them at this point by now. I mean, they're all very mindful of that, and they're really good with the kids. They keep them very, as quiet as they can. They, work with them. So it's gotten a lot better, I think, than it used to be. It was kind of like a free-for-all when the print release station was the meeting room, kind of, or the conference room, and people would get very, very upset and wanted to tutor in there. And now that they see that you can really just sit at a table and do it and it works fine, it seems to be working a lot better. But I do think they are looking at LibCal, I think, for utilizing some of that software system to work with the study rooms, because making it more integrated with some of what we're using it for. So,
well, thank you, Helen. Any other questions, comments?
Do you have a question or a comment?
No, I kind of just wanted to come listen. I was trying to decide if I wanted to apply to be on the board.
Oh, certainly.
What it's like.
Well, welcome. This is not as much on the agenda today, but
that's okay.
Thanks for being here. Okay, well, if there's nothing else for today, our next meeting is May 18th at Hall, and Alicia said she would double check on that, so thank you. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Thank you, Elizabeth. Do we have a second? Thank you, Pete. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much for being here today.
That's a good one.
didn't even go long enough for Jimmy to come.
I know.
Harsh.
But true.
Well attended today, so thank you.